Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to another episode of Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And just a little heads up for you listeners, my guest today and myself being outside of Idaho, and she is in Georgia, we're both having some little stormy weather today. So we're crossing our fingers that our internet is going to stay stable long enough to get through this show. So again, I'm always so happy to bring you guys these Lyme conquerors. You know, so many of our journeys are so much alike, yet totally different in many ways. And so I think it's a great resource to have at your fingertips to, one, most of all, know that there is hope out there. If we can heal, you can heal. We can all heal, but it is not an easy journey. It's a tough journey, but we're tougher, right? So I'm excited to welcome April Rooks to my show today and just to hear her whole journey. So welcome, April. Thank you so much for joining me.
It's great to be here today with you, Tanya. Thank you for having me.
So where do we start? Where does your journey begin?
In 2021, I woke up in the middle of the night and had gone to the restroom, was getting back into the bed, and I had something on my leg, and I thought that there was, you know, just something random stuck to my leg, and couldn't get it off. And, you know, it was 1:30 in the morning. And I got back up and saw that I had a tick that was attached around just below my ankle. And so I woke my husband up at 1:30 in the morning, and because I could not remove it on my own where it was located. And he helped, and we removed the tick and tossed it in the toilet and went back to bed, and did not think anything of it. I grew up in the country, and I'm a country girl from North Georgia, and played in the woods and was always outside. And I've had a number of ticks on me since I was a child. And so I thought nothing of it and went back to bed. And it was a few weeks to a month later when I initially on a Monday had a sore throat and thought, well, I'm just getting, you know, some sort of little bug. And then I woke up on Wednesday morning very early with pins and needles feeling all over my entire body, from my face and my head down to my feet. And that was where the horror began, was that morning. And then over a series of the next, you know, 14 period of the next 14 days, I began to have all kinds of different, you know, symptoms that were anything from muscle twitches all over my body, uncontrollable shaking, burning sensations, muscle tightness, and to just the overall, this vibrating feeling that I would feel in my body. And I started to keep a journal because the anxiety from all of those things happening and wondering what is going on, not being able to sleep, because with the muscle twitches, it would often wake me up when I would start to fall asleep. And I was just so scattered that I said, I've got to write these things down in a journal to try to keep up with this.
So glad that you did. That's amazing. I think journaling through this can really kind of keep our healing, you know, on track. So, all right. So you get bit in the middle of the night, bless your husband for getting up and taking it out, and you just think nothing of it, right? Because like you said, you have been around, you've probably been bit by, you know, tons of ticks, maybe knowing and not knowing. And then of course you have the sore throat. Well, everybody randomly wakes up with a sore throat. So it was pretty quickly that your symptoms exacerbated within a couple of weeks, which doesn't always happen because then it's harder to kind of correlate it to a tick bite, right? Like if it's years down the road. So when these started happening and you decided to journal, were you recalling that tick bite? Did that pop into your head or did it still just not faze you?
I'd forgotten about that, and again, had never really known anyone, and I didn't really know much about Lyme disease, so I did not know enough about symptoms to kind of connect the two. And
Okay.
so I, of course, social media is a wonderful, wonderful thing in a lot of ways, and one of those was I posted a message and shared, this is what's going on, and does anybody know, possibility of what this they think this could be, or has anyone ever had this happen to them? And immediately, a connection of mine, she said, this sounds like it could be Lyme disease.
Wow. And that is the importance of all of us sharing our voice, right? Because you never know who might be listening, who may know somebody that had Lyme, or maybe they had Lyme. And I just truly think it's a beautiful thing that we can all share our voice in the community. And I know I've heard in the past that one of my guests was at a restaurant and overheard somebody at the other table talking about Lyme. She told her husband, "I think I have Lyme," just out of the blue. And he was like, "Okay, where did that come from?" And it was the table next to him. So, yes, share our voices, right? It's so important. All right. And so then when your friend commented, "I think this is Lyme," where did your mind go? Did you immediately start Googling or searching Lyme disease, right?
Yes, I started looking into it, and it was about time that really things had gotten to a point where I said, I've got to do something. And of course, on the back of my mind as well was, well, could this be something neurological? So, it would take me months to get into a neurologist and to get a CT and all of those things. And I was like, I don't have months, So I went straight to the emergency room. And I asked them to do a CT scan, and they ran labs, and I had also had other labs completed at the PCP as well during subsequently to that. Everything was great with my labs. There was nothing on the CT scan, so I told the emergency room physician, the only thing that I can think of, other than then my since my lab work has come back normal and everything is clear, as I was bitten by a tick a few weeks ago. And he said, oh, okay. And he said, well, I'm going to give you a round of antibiotics, doxycycline, and he said, and then I want you to go to your PCP and have a test done. So immediately, within 24 hours of taking the doxycycline, the symptoms really began to subside. And so that was a sign to me that, okay, whatever this is, it is responding. And so I went to the PCP and had a Lyme test done, and it was negative.
Well, first of all, I'm excited that the ER was receptive to it, right? Because I oftentimes say, don't ever tell the ER doctor you think you have Lyme because immediately they go to you're crazy. But again, like we talked about a little bit before the show, April, so much more awareness is being let out right now, right? People are gaining more knowledge about this. And so it's not as random for these doctors to think about Lyme. It needs to be more so. But so that was good that he brought it up. You go to your doctor, but then here we go with the testing, right? We know it's not accurate. Or I didn't know it at the time, and maybe you didn't know that either.
Right. I had no idea. So here I was, because I thought, well, it's not Lyme. And so what do I do now? So I then continued to, have not as bad symptoms because I had taken, the antibiotics, and that did have, and I'm grateful for that, because I certainly think that I mean, it could have saved my life to even just had that doxycycline up front, because I had such a a terrible, terrible reaction to that, and very, very upfront, like you had mentioned.
Right. And maybe it helped slow it down a little bit too, as well. So, do you recall how long of the round of antibiotics was?
It was only 10 days.
10 days. Okay.
But not a very, typically they'll at least give a 21 day prescription for doxycycline for Lyme, but it was only 10 days. But I would say that from there, I continued to not feel well. I was, still struggling with a lot of the physical things. I had a lot of brain fog, and then thankfully, I had started going to acupuncture though during that time, and so that was helping to treat a lot of the symptoms. And there were some other things that we'll talk a little bit more about later that it also was very helpful during that time as well. But it took me a long time to actually get that official diagnosis because I didn't know that I needed to go to a Lyme specialist.
Yeah, we don't know what we don't know. Exactly, because I was the same way. Three tests over 7 years, and it was negative every time. And let's take it a step further. I thought Lyme only dogs got. I didn't know it was something that humans could get. Like, we just don't know what we don't know. So how did you eventually get an accurate diagnosis? How many years did it take you, or how long did it take? And then did you progressively continue to get worse? Because, now obviously you're off of the antibiotics.
Yes, I did continue to get worse. And of course, I think, like you'll hear many people's stories with Lyme disease, is that it's very much like a roller coaster ride because there are times that you start to feel better and you think, oh, I'm in the clear, and then time will go by and then you're crashing again. And then you're starting to see, another, return of a lot of the symptoms, and I went through that. So there was a time where I had reached out to the Genesis Center where I ended up going to Dr. Sloan there. I reached out, but then I started feeling better, and I thought, well, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't. So it was this back and forth journey that was definitely a little flustering. But I eventually, it was almost 2 years later by the time that I went to Dr. Sloan. And he immediately said, yeah, you have Lyme. And they did the proper testing. And then the results from those labs were that, yes, I have Lyme and I have the actual strain of Lyme. That's the CDC strain.
Oh.
Yes. And then I also had a co-infection of Bartonella.
Okay. Which we know is not a lot of fun, right?
Absolutely not fun at all. And so, yeah, almost 2 years of this roller coaster and this trying to figure out what is going on and just trying to hang in there. But what a relief it was when I realized that, that and a funny story and well, a God story as well, is that I knew Dr. Sloan almost 20 years ago. Well, I guess now would be 20 years as of this year. But I had known he and his wife the time his wife that they were regulars at a venue that I used to. I'm a musician, and so I used to perform there at this venue, and I hosted an open mic there at this venue, and had known them for all of these years. And I knew that he was a doctor and he did some sports medicine, and I had no idea until all of this happened that he specializes in Lyme disease and is a functional medicine physician. And it just blew my mind that,
Wow.
that here, all of these years later, God knew what I was going to need and put him in my life. And he absolutely has saved my life and he's saved so many other lives.
I love it. Divine intervention for sure, right? Love that. So, all right. So, 2 years, you get your diagnosis, and I know you had mentioned earlier that you had done some acupuncture. So what kind of, if you could walk us through kind of like, where did your doctor want to start with you? They each kind of have their own set of protocols or guidelines, because we all know that there's not one way to treat everyone the same, right? So, did he start with your gut health? Did he put you on immune boosting things? Did you just start right in on killing? Or what did that look like for you?
Yes, so Dr. Sloan's protocol really starts with gut health, making sure I had a great probiotic, niastatin that I'm, so I'm working on any kind of yeast overgrowth that might be an issue, all of those things. And then immediately also began to treat with ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, which are antiparasitics. And I would take those for probably, gosh, over a year. And then would later add in methylene blue.
Okay.
And that was so that was for a little over a year. And then during this time as well, I am taking acupuncture treatments, which were very, very beneficial. And I, one of the things that I say is that, our as we go through anything, and even the negative things, there's a lesson in that for us, and there's something for us to gain. And so I always try to keep that outlook as well. And going to acupuncture was really great because I've always believed that, we're a body, mind, and spirit. So everything is interconnected. And it really helped me to understand how to work on my energy and make sure that I could stay in balance. And one of the things that he immediately had me doing is walking because I was hurting so much and having so much muscular pain and issues that then continued in with my joints and all of those issues that I was nervous to exercise. And I'm a person who I love to hike. I'm active. I go to the gym and do weight training. And I wasn't really doing much of anything because I also was scared of any flare-ups that I might cause. And he said, "You've got to get out and walk." He was like, "You have to get out and just find a flat area and walk." And things like that that just helped me. And being outside, is so wonderful because it's just a place where you can clear your head, you can let things go, you can connect with God. And so for me, that was my time to help all of those three elements and keep that balance going as I'm in the middle of all of the other chaos that's happening.
Wow, I love that. And I love that you mentioned, kind of our own mindset and just getting our body back in balance. We have amazing bodies, right, that are capable of doing so many things, but our nervous system gets out of whack. We have these pathogens taking over, like so much stuff is going on. And I love that you did take that opportunity to go out and walk. So I'm gathering that you had a lot of pain and a lot of things going on as well. So, can you maybe share with the listeners just a little bit deeper about maybe what the walkthrough that you had with yourself on how am I going to get out there and walk, right? Like you're scared about it. So maybe just give some inspiring words to somebody who might be out there who is, like you said, are kind of afraid to get out there and walk and is it going to flare me up? But then it sounds like it was the one of the goodest things that you could have done. Goodest things, right? One of the best things you could have done.
So it was one of those things in life that I think we sometimes with when we're going through a storm that we're so overwhelmed and we don't know how to put the next foot forward. And certainly if you're dealing with neurological Lyme or neurological symptoms from Bartonella and you're in a brain fog and and you have anxiety, which had increased for me over time, you have that reservation of things. So for me, it was, this is, if I can go for 5 minutes, I'm not looking at going on a 30-minute walk. But where can I start in the smallest way? And so I found a small trail here where I live, and I would just, and it's flat, and it's by a pasture with horses. I love horses. And so for me, that was a place where I could just, I could walk, and I didn't have any kind of speed in mind. It was just walking, and I'd just get out, and then I would stop at the pasture and maybe look at the horses for a moment, you know, and then I would continue going, and or I would get by a creek. Water is so calming. So there was another area where there's a nice flowing creek, and as a musician, I study sound, and so sounds such as moving and flowing water are very good for our nervous system, very calming. So when we're going through any kind of chaos or frustration and fear, those are great opportunities to find a stream that you can just take a gentle walk for 5 minutes or as much as you can do. If it's 2 minutes, do what you can do, and it's oh, that's okay.
Right. Yes. And you're absolutely right. Small steps, right? We don't, when we go through this journey, it can be very overwhelming if we are processing through our head, oh my gosh, okay, I'm only a month into my treatment. It was this rough. It was, you know, don't look so far ahead. Take everything and break it down into little bite-sized pieces and do the small things, because the small things over time, right? The next thing you know, you take a 5 minute walk. Wow, you're maybe walking 15 minutes, right? And you don't even know it because you're feeling better. You're outside in nature, like you mentioned, the stream and the horses. And so there really are so many things that we can do on our own during this journey, because I know it can be very overwhelming. People can't find a doctor. People think they can't afford treatment. And they think, well, then I just can't do anything. You know, and that's just simply not true. And you know that, April, especially with sound therapy and music therapy. I mean, everybody can turn on a radio, right? And get that. And it just, you know, you're maybe a little extra biased to it because you're a musician, but I love sound therapy, and the vibrations of it are super healing in our body, as you know.
Yes, and in addition to that, the days where I did not feel like going out and doing much walking, or you know, or I would just add it as a normal practice in the mornings, that I would play a contemplative or meditative track that with certain megahertz, and I won't nerd into that too much. Hertz that we can listen to that have effects on our physical our us have effects on us physiologically and also neurologically. Certain tracks that I love to listen to are that help change the brain waves, and so you can change your brain waves into more of a theta state or an alpha state. But that theta state is really helping you to clear your head. It's giving you clarity and kind of moving into that place of consciousness where we need to be, because especially when we are struggling with, you know, all of the physical health issues, the pain, when you're in pain and chronic pain and chronic stress, it takes a toll on you. And so being able to do those things helps to change your energy. And you know, during this time, I heard this teaching by Joe Dispenza, and it said, "Change your energy, change your life." And
Oh,
I have that on my whiteboard in my music room.
powerful.
Remind myself that I needed to every day work on my energy and work on my mindset, because that's a part of my healing.
1,000,000%. And it sounds like such a silly or simple thing to do, right? But I think what we don't realize during the journey, luckily you did, that all of these pieces are so important, right? So you knew that you had to work on that mindset. And I'm telling you, it can be a game changer, right?
Oh, absolutely. So I was sharing with Dr. Sloan on my last visit, as I had had the SOT, which is called the supportive Oakley nucleotide therapy. I had that for Lyme in 2024, which cleared the Lyme. Yay. And then
Yay.
I just had the SOT for Bartonella in August. And so, wow, I'm leaps and bounds better. And I still have a little ways to go in that, in my journey with the Bartonella, but so much better, so much better. And, but I was sharing with him, I believe in school, we read a book by, I believe it was Charles Dickens that said it was the best of times and it was the worst of times. And
Isn't that the truth?
how I feel now after going through this is that it was the worst thing that could have happened to me, but it was also the best thing that could have happened to me. Because through this and going to acupuncture, I was working on a lot of the inner things that I needed to work on emotionally and spiritually that I just wasn't aware of. And this helped to bring awareness to that. I was able to heal from some childhood trauma that I still had and those layers of things that were going on. I was able to work on, again, my energy, developing my patience and my character. And I was learning the how to have more compassion, you know, for other people as we're going through chronic illnesses and we're going through all of these different challenges, and among many other lessons that I learned. But I thank God that this happened because of that healing that I needed and the journey that I needed to go on. And so I'm committed through that to be able to help others, because I think that that's another part of the beauty of life is that when we go through something, that we can come together in community and we can help each other. We can share what worked for us. We can just be a listening ear and that support that you need whenever you feel like there's no hope and you feel like that you can't go on and you have someone just to listen or just to hold your hand, and love you through it.
Can you just repeat all of that again? Like it was so powerful because I tell the people in the Lyme community that Lyme disease was one of my biggest blessings in life. And I didn't see it during my journey, right? Like it took me a long time to figure it out, but life just happens. You know, we all go through rough times, whether it's a rough childhood or, you know, whatever it may be. And we all, especially the older that we get, we have years of trauma that we've been through, right? And oftentimes life is busy. Things get crazy. We just kind of sweep it under the rug. Oh, well, you know what? Let's just move on from that. And that truly stores in our body, in different parts of our body, depending on what the trauma was. And when you have what I call blocked traumas, it really inhibits your healing. Or if you are able to heal, one little trigger will put you back out of remission. And I see it happen time and time again. And so I really impress upon everybody in the community that we've got to work on the emotional side of this journey, which I believe is kind of like a grieving process. And then we have to work on those blocked traumas, like you mentioned, April. And I know that there's a good book that I love. It's called The Emotion Code by Dr. Bradley Nelson. There's also another one, Your Body Keeps the Score. Like there's so many tools out there that can help you get through these things. But I'm just so thankful that you brought this up. And I love hearing that it was such a part of your journey because it's so important.
I really appreciate that you brought up or mentioned the book, The Body Keeps the Score by Dr. Bessel van der Kolk. It is,
Okay, there you go.
that's it's one of my favorite books. And in the work that I do, as a musician and a nonprofit director, we work with kids that have been through trauma. And but in going through this book, it also was obviously, you know, also very helpful for myself in learning that you know what you were saying. Yeah, our body stores trauma in different areas, and so for me, I know that when my body was under attack from Lyme and Bartonella, that there were certain weak areas from both physical things and those emotional things that were then attacked, and and that was an ongoing issue. So when I started going to acupuncture, the acupuncturist initially said, you know, well, you were having an issue with your gallbladder meridian. And so it was that, and then it moved to something else. And I think that, again, it was working through all of those different parts as a process through my body to heal. And that, again, going back to that interconnectedness between the mind and the spirit and our bodies.
There really is that connection, right? And they all have to be in alignment in order to get through that healing journey. And again, just kind of going back to, we don't know what we don't know. And I want to say that, I'm so thankful mold was not part of my journey. And so far I haven't heard that it's been part of yours, April, but it's a part of a lot of people's journeys. And when I think of mold personally, not now, right? But before I would think of mold, I'm like, oh my gosh, like you must be a dirty person. You have mold in your house, right? Not at all the truth. Not at all the truth. And it goes to as well with people that say, well, I don't have any blocked trauma. I mean, you could have had an amazing childhood. Your parents stayed together forever. You were so loved. You got married, you had children, like life is perfect, right? That doesn't happen for a lot of people, but it does. That doesn't mean you still don't have traumas that are blocked from maybe you don't know what. So just because we talk about blocked traumas, that does not mean you were abused in any way as a child. It doesn't mean that you lived in an alcoholic home. It doesn't mean necessarily any of those. Your mother could have had a traumatic birth, birthing you into this world, right? And just something like that could put blocked traumas into your body. So I just wanted to kind of elaborate on that a little bit because, again, going back to that mold thing, we have certain thoughts in our mind. And so please, listeners, do not negate this whole topic of blocked traumas because they're there. They're in there somewhere, right? Especially if you're treating and the needle isn't moving. Maybe that's your little missing piece. So I'm
Yeah.
so thankful you're diving into all of that because we don't talk about it often. So I love it.
Well, it's very important work, and I appreciate what you're saying with that because yeah, there are some people who really that may not recognize even. I never thought what I experienced, I never labeled it as trauma, even though there was alcoholism and dysfunction and mental health. That was just my world, and it took me reading this book, The Body Keeps the Score, to actually identify it and say, oh, wait, wow, that was kind of crazy what happened. That was traumatic. And for me, I had normalized it. So we do, so there is normalizing. And then, but eventually, I mean, essentially trauma is how we respond to something. And so for some people, a divorce, when you're a child, might be something that is not kind of an issue, but for some people that's even traumatic. So there's all kinds of different things and how we particularly take on something, and all of us are different. But yes, there's and so whether we want to label something trauma or even if it's just something that was a hardship in our life, that was a really challenging time. And so there is some of that that's still lingering, right? Because people go through cancers, or people go through divorces, or they go through these very difficult things, and it still takes a toll on us mentally and emotionally. And so, while it might not necessarily be something that's labeled trauma, it's still something that we're having to work through emotionally, and that takes time. And even dealing with something like unforgiveness and bitterness, that's something that will definitely block us spiritually and energetically, because we're holding on. And when our body's holding on, it is tense, it's stress, it's all of these deeper emotions. And so, and then that bitterness then turns around and affects us. And as you were saying earlier, it can block us from healing. And so things of that nature that we work through, and finding just tools that help us to do that, like music and like support groups. And but when it comes to Lyme, I think that I'm just so grateful that I've been a part of these different Lyme communities. My physician's office has their own Facebook group, and they're part of a lot of different Lyme groups on book that have all been a part of me connecting with other people and seeing us all come together and sharing our different treatments, what we've tried, what's worked, what hasn't worked, and coming together and supporting each other for people we've never even met. I remember that I was on a group recently and they were asking about treatments, and I just shared with someone simply that I bought an infrared sauna blanket. And it was one of the best purchases that I've made because I was going to the one at my gym and it was so great, but sometimes someone else is in the sauna or it's not accessible, or maybe I just kind of feel like staying home, or I'm from home. But I pull the blanket out and I can get in it for 10 or 15 minutes in the morning, and how it helpful it is for my muscles and my joints and helping to reduce inflammation. So just things like that, that we can jump into these forums and make a really big difference in somebody's life.
Absolutely. And yes, it is, we might discover during this journey, because we obviously have to allocate our financial resources and even our energy resources, right? A lot during this. And so there are a lot of modalities out there. And oftentimes it's a cheaper investment to invest in something than it is to continue to pay at, a particular clinic that you're doing it, like an ionic foot bath was one of my things that I did a lot. And when I found out how much it cost at the clinic, I thought I could do so many treatments and have one paid for. And then it can just be a tool that I have forever, right? We all need to work on detox because we live in a very toxic world, the environment, our food, all of that. And so we're not saying go and jump and buy everything that you see online, right? But just to know that there are these tools out there that can be very beneficial to you. I think that that's amazing that you found within the community that, just sharing our voices and sharing our stories, and we're all different, but yet so much alike when it comes to this journey. And they also can be very overwhelming. I don't know if you ran into that or not, April, but I know that there's a lot of groups out there, and I stress hard to find one or two that you want to check out, and don't be in 30 of them, right? And have your whole entire feed be this, because unfortunately, there are a lot of negativity in some of these groups, right? And it's the thoughts that go through our mind, it's the words that go through our mouth, it's the words that we read, right? Those are things that are manifesting in us. So it's really important to stay and lean more towards the positivity in different groups, because we don't want that negativity in our mind, right?
I think that I grew up in a very negative household, and so when I learned the power of gratitude many years ago and started keeping a gratitude journal and doing all of this work, I found myself when I had Lyme that I was not really sharing with people for a long while because, I just said I'm going to stay positive, and I have. Overall, I have been, incredibly positive about everything, but there have been times where I said, you know what, I need to let people know how much I'm in pain or how much I am suffering, but I don't want that to be my focus. I want to know that, you know what, even though I'm in the middle of some, of a challenge right now, that I'm strong enough and I have faith and believe that I will get through this and I'll get to the other side and something really good is going to come out of it. So yeah, it's important to, I think, again, it comes back to that balance of, you need to stay positive and not be constantly in negative talk, but then, but also, find the right communities that you can share, that you can say, hey, I'm struggling right now, and ask for prayers or, that support or just a listening ear.
100% agree with that. And it's hard not to have a bad day during this journey, right? It's hard to always stay positive. We're not perfect. We're not saying, 100% positive all the time, all the time. It's okay to have a bad day, right? And then we share. We allow others to know that we're struggling, right? And so we can accept whatever type of support that they can offer to us. But then tomorrow's a new day, right? Get back up and have a new perspective, kind of, like turn the page in the book. So it's again that balancing, like you said. I think that's just a good word to use in this scenario. So what were some of the big things as far as, we talked a lot about detoxing the mind, so to say, right? Detoxing the mind and soul. What were some of the things, the detox tools that you used that seemed to be a little bit of a game changer for you?
Exercise, like we talked about, the walking was definitely big for me. And again, the sound therapy, using meditation, contemplation, and again, journaling. I love writing, and I'm a songwriter, so as well. And so, whether that was, writing poetry, journaling, to putting, my emotions and feelings into song, that was very therapeutic for me. And getting to, when I do have the chance to perform, which decreased because of my illness, for a while. But when I do get the chance, sharing, a part of that journey with other people and sharing that through music has been incredibly helpful. Yoga is, and being able to, have that mindfulness as a part of my, as yoga practice as well. And just the stretches and the, and helping to just move the body through yoga was very, very helpful. I used a lot of massage during this time as well. Because again, going back to that, everything that's stored in the body and the, all of the muscular and the joint things, that was a big part of my practice. And helped me to it helped me to have clarity. And through all of this journey and trying to work and building a nonprofit that I had started 7 years ago, I had a responsibility for, for the kids that are in our programs and caring for them. And so I think that realizing that, and then my, and again, I would ultimately say that my faith in God, and making sure that I was taking time to just spend time with Him, and through all of this, really going back to trust, and just learning to trust God, that I and learning that I also can't be superwoman.
Yes, that's a hard one to learn, right?
So much of my life, I'm just, a go-getter personality, and but I'm very, I am that in a sense because I'm very mission-driven, and I know that through my music or through, my time here, that I have so many things that I want to give and I want to share. And but I was also a single mom for 9 years, and so during that time, I'm working multiple jobs. And I'm still performing and playing music, and I have, my son, and I'm juggling all of these things, right? And then even being remarried and now have a 9-year-old daughter as well, I'm helping out and doing things as I can at school. I have a nonprofit, and then I'm, working in real estate. I'm just wearing all the hats and doing all the things. And while I really enjoy that and love that, because I love the versatility of all the things and I love using my gifts and talents, I found that, whenever I became sick, that I was like, I can't do that anymore. I couldn't keep the focus to be able to bounce back and forth, between all of the things. And that became stressful because it was like, I don't know how to let go of this. So learning to just trust and to let go of what I couldn't do at the moment and be okay with that surrender, I guess that's the word, is the surrender. And that's the secret of it all, is that surrender of, in our lives. That's where God wants us to get to, that whatever it is that we're going through, that we just surrender it and say, okay, I trust you that I'm going to get through this. And I'm believing in that law of attraction, that everything that I need, that it will come to me when I need it.
Yes, timing is everything, right?
Yes. And being that action-oriented person that I am, and that making things happen, that's not really how this works. That I can just sit back and say, you know what? This is what I need, and it's coming. I don't see it right now, but it's there, and it will be here right when I need it. And it is, and it always is. I'll share, this was a verse actually when I went through melanoma many, many years ago, and that story that God had given me this verse, and I've held on to it even through all the different ch changing seasons in my life. But that Isaiah 41:10 that says, "Do not fear, for I'm with you. Don't be dismayed, for I'm your God, and I will strengthen you and help you and hold you up with my right hand." And He always has. And so just. But we have to go through these different journeys. We have to go through those wildernesses. We're just circling, and we're but those are those times where we really can let go of ourselves, and we can lean in to God and that trust.
I love that. And like we mentioned, timing is everything. We might think we need it right now, right? But obviously that wasn't part of his plan. It will come in time. And I know that during my journey, I did absolutely have a love-hate relationship with God. I was angry, I was frustrated with good reason, right? But I found this phrase on this little plaque that I bought, and it said, "Pray harder when it's hardest to pray." And that was kind of a little phrase that really got me through, right? Because if I was mad and didn't want to pray, that was all the more reason I needed to do some, reaching out. Come on, I need help, surrender. And that is, like you said, like just everything you just said was so beautifully said, because that's it. We've got to surrender it. Right, because God is good and we need to trust him wholeheartedly. And I know that that was a huge piece to my healing journey as well.
That's so good. It's okay to be upset with God. He can handle it.
That's right, he can. And obviously he's forgiven me, right? Well, April, I just think that that's just the perfect way to end this episode because, like I said, so beautifully said. But if you wouldn't mind, just for a moment, if you could please share what your nonprofit is all about, because just the little bits that I got of it sounds incredible. And of course, it has nothing to do with Lyme disease, right? But that's okay. We want to shout out all the different amazing nonprofits that are out there. And I love it even more so when it involves children. So what exactly is it?
Amped Kids Foundation, we're a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and our mission is to make a positive impact and enrich the lives of children that are in foster care, adopted, and at-risk youth who've experienced trauma through the healing power of music. We provide free music lessons, instruments, band scholarships, songwriting classes, and music therapy, among other music therapeutics, as a part of this journey to help them to find a pathway of healing, of connection with others, and a safe community, and then also mentorship as they are, navigating some very rough waters in life.
Wow, incredible. And I can tell that this truly is your passion, right? Music. Music is huge. I love music. Normally it's always on in my house. If I'm home, the music's on unless I'm happen to be watching something on TV. It's very healing for the mind, the body, and the soul. So sounds like an incredible thing that you're doing. Thank you for that. And listeners, as always, we will put the information for that in the description of this episode. April, I'm so happy that I'm not happy that you went through this journey, but I'm so happy of all the things that you learned through this journey, and that it truly sounds like it was that blessing for you as well, the things that you've learned. And thank you for truly just being vulnerable and breaking down the things that often aren't talked a lot about in this community when it comes to emotions and traumas and just surrendering, like you said, because it's huge. So I appreciate you so much.
Oh, I appreciate the opportunity. It's so wonderful today. And I pray that this will reach the right ears and just be a beautiful part of someone else's journey.
I think it will. Thank you so much. I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.